Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 20 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1027, 1027. I'll be reading a single verse here, just the 16th verse, Matthew chapter 20 and verse 16. Shall we stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God? And we'll read this all together. So let's read. Ready? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Turn now to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14. We'll read just this verse. Ready? For many are called, but few are chosen. Turn now to Luke chapter 23. That's page 1110, 1110. And we'll read the 35th verse. Verse 35. And let's read. Ready? And the people stood beholding him, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us this time. It's a regular time that's set aside for the preaching of your word. Thank you for those who come faithfully. Thank you for those who visit with us. We pray that every heart would be prepared of thy spirit to listen and to learn. We pray for our preacher that thou wouldst fill him with, of course, thy spirit to give us that which we need from thee. What a wonderful thing our privilege is this morning. Help us to realize something of that privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.
We read a while ago, twice, basically the same words. Many are called, but few are chosen. And then we read the statement, Jesus Christ, chosen of God. The title of my message this morning is simply those words, chosen of God. I want you to follow me carefully as I speak on that subject. Chosen of God, our Heavenly Father. We come now to the preaching of the book, that which everything else points to, that which is the purpose of it all. Every song that's been sung is to prepare our hearts for the book. Every announcement that's been made, it's been made to get our attention, so we'll listen to the book as we speak from the blessed book. Speak to me, through me, to the people today. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew 20 and verse 16, many are called, but few are chosen. Now, and by the way, it says the same thing in Matthew 22:14. This verse has been so misinterpreted, misunderstood. Our Calvinistic friends, hyper-Calvinistic friends, say that this means that many are called to salvation, but everybody that's saved is chosen by God, that God chooses some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. I'm sorry, but you and I don't serve the same God. I serve a God that is not willing that any should perish, and God leaves the decision of your eternity up to you and doesn't make it himself. He offers you on the table of buffet, he offers you salvation, but you're going to have to serve yourself and accept what he has provided for you. Now, if that's not what this verse means, then exactly what does this verse mean? Listen carefully. Many are called, but few are chosen. Now, that means that everybody can be saved. But from those who accept salvation, there are a few people who are chosen by God to full-time Christian service. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about many are called. Anybody here can be saved this morning because God calls you to salvation. But there is another call. It's called chosen or God's call to full-time service. there's another call. And that call is not to everybody. That call is to a few people. Many are called, few are chosen to serve God on a full-time basis. Now, I went through my Cruden's Concordance, and I looked up the word chosen and chosen of God. And I picked out the things that were actually chosen of God. Let me give you some examples. And by the way, my introduction is as long as my sermon this morning, so I want you to be patient with me as I get to what I'm trying to say. I'm laying a pretty deep foundation this morning. Of all the nations in the world, Isaiah 44:1 says that God chose a nation. Now, there are many nations in the world, and anybody in any nation in the world can get saved. But God has chosen one nation to be honored. This choosing is by grace, not by merit. There's no reason. God chose this one little nation, Israel, not mighty Italy, not intellectual Greece, not powerful Babylon. Turn me down just a bit, please. Be amen. Are you up there? Hey, turn me down a bit. Not powerful Babylon, not famous Egypt, but little Israel. Now, this is just introduction, but of all the nations in the world, now God calls everybody to salvation in every nation under heaven, but one little nation, it was chosen by God. What an honor to be. And by the way, it wasn't because that was a better nation. It wasn't because it was a famous nation. For some reason unknown to us, God, by His grace and by His mercy and by His predestination, predestined this one little nation chosen by God. In Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 2, we find that God not only chose a nation, but God chose a city. Now, this everybody in every city in the world can be saved, and God calls all men to salvation. But He chose one little city. Not Rome, not Athens, not Cairo, not Corinth, not Alexandria, not Luxor, not Karnak, not Nineveh, but Jerusalem. What an honor to be called by God, chosen by God, to be the one city across the world chosen for His own. Now, I went through the concordance. I got all the words chosen, and I found in Psalm 105, verse 28, that God chose a high priest. Aaron was chosen. Only one high priest in the entire world. Can you imagine what an honor it was for Aaron to be chosen as the high priest? Now, Aaron was not one of the better men of the Bible. In fact, Aaron was a very, very, in some case, a weak man, but for some reason, God chose Aaron to be the only high priest at that time in the entire world. What an honor to be chosen by God to be the nation of the world. What an honor to be chosen by God to be the city of the world. And what an honor to be chosen by God to be the high priest of the world. Then in Psalm 135 and verse 4, God chose a man after whom He would name that nation. And I don't understand why God chose this fellow. I never would have chosen him. One of my least favorite characters in the Bible is Jacob. I just don't like Jacob. A man that's home making chili while his brother's gone hunting is not my kind of guy. I just don't like Jacob. In fact, when I get to heaven, one of the first things I'm going to do is punch him in his glorified puss and tell him what I think about him. But God chose Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel later in his life. And when he became a prince, the word Israel meaning prince, listen to me now. And God chose. Now, many people, everybody is called to salvation. But here's one man, nobody else in the whole world. What an honor. What an honor for little Israel to be chosen as the nation by God. What an honor for little Jerusalem to be chosen as the city by God. What an honor for Aaron to be chosen as the high priest by God. And what an honor for Jacob to be chosen as the one after whom the name of the great nation chosen will be named. But God bypassed Moses and chose Jacob. I don't know why He bypassed Abraham. He could have called the nation Abraham or the name Joseph or the name Moses or the name Isaac. But for some reason, see, when God chooses, this is by grace. This has nothing to do with our merit. God did not choose Israel as the nation except by grace. God did not choose Israel for her merit, or Jerusalem for her merit, or Aaron for his merit, or Jacob for his merit. We don't know why God chose, but what an honor. In Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 36, God chose a woman we spend much time thinking about her. And next Sunday night I'll speak much more about this woman. But God chose a woman named Mary. What an honor, chosen by God to bear in her body the Christ child. What an honor, chosen by God. Not because she is better than anybody else. We don't know why she is chosen. Anybody could be saved, but God chose this woman to give birth to the Christ child. What an honor. In John 6 and verse 70, God chose 12. He chose, of all His followers, He chose 12 apostles. Now, I do not know why He chose these 12 apostles. I don't think that Peter, in fact, I don't think Peter was really a hot Christian much of the time. It's by grace. See, all people can come to Christ, but God, according to His own sovereignty, chooses a few. Many call, a few are chosen. And God chose 12. What an honor. Get this. Chosen by God. When God called me to preach, I felt like the most honored man in the whole world. And when God made me the pastor of a New Testament church, only 19 members, little old dinky kind of a building, both walls about to fall down, but thank God they're leaning toward each other and each one was holding the other one up. When God called me to pastor that little church with 19 people and $7.50 salary, I have more members now, but the salary is about the same, and God called me, all of a sudden I was overcome. I have been chosen by God to pastor the Morris Chapel Baptist Church out in the country, outside Begola, Texas. And I'm going to say this. Every single young man here this morning who's been chosen by God and called of God to preach the gospel, throw your shoulders back. Realize that you're nobody, but God has given you an honor, the like of which no men on the face of this earth. Kings have not been honored like you've been honored. And priests have not been honored like you've been honored. And educators have not been honored like you've been. You have been chosen of God. Now, let me say this before you get too proud. It wasn't anything you did. You have been, for some reason, chosen by God. I recall in his old hat, but I recall when I was called to that church, unanimous vote, 19 to nothing. Nobody else would have the church. And I 19 to nothing. I got me a can of paint about that big and a Crayola brush, not a Crayola brush, a watercolor brush. I went out to the church sign where it said Morris Chapel Baptist Church, and I wrote my name on there, painted my name on there, Jack Hiles Pastor. I got me a camera. I took a picture of that sign where it said Morris Chapel Baptist Church, Jack Hiles Pastor. As I said before, I wrote myself a letter to Reverend Jack Hiles, pastor of the Morris Chapel Baptist Church, 2007 North Franklin, Marshall, Texas. Wrote myself a letter and put it in the mail because I wanted my postman to know that I was a called man of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know anything better than that. I have been chosen by God. I'm not better than you are. I'm not better than anybody else. But God, by His mercy and by His grace, has chosen me. I continued my study of the verses where the word chosen was used. Not only did God choose a nation by His grace, He chose a city by His grace. He chose a high priest by His grace. He chose a man after whom the nation had changed name by His grace. He chose a woman to bear the body of Jesus by His grace. He chose 12 apostles by His grace. And in Acts 9:15, God chose a man to take the gospel to the Gentile world. God chose a missionary. And let me say this morning, you mission volunteers, if God has called you to the mission field, join the crowd with the Apostle Paul, Adoniram Judson, and David Livingston, and all these great missionaries. Called of God, what an honor! God has called you to be a missionary to go across the world. I continue my study of the word chosen. In 1 Chronicles 28:5, God chose a king named Solomon. I'm coming to my sermon, still an introduction. What an honor. Chosen by God. Now, God dead sure didn't choose Solomon because he was red hot. Solomon had 700 wives. Boy, I'd hate to finance all those weddings, but he had 700 wives. And 300 substitutes. 300, Bible says, 300 combines. 300 concubines. And yet, for some reason, I don't know why, God chose Solomon. I'm trying to emphasize the honor, the undeserved honor, and yet the honor to be picked out of a great group as a small group and be chosen by God Almighty. In Psalm 132, verse 13, God chose a mountain called Mount Zion. He chose that mountain to become the Pentagon, the Congress, the White House, and Supreme Court of the millennial kingdom when Christ rules and reigns on the earth. What an honor. He bypassed the Great Alps. He bypassed the beautiful Adirondacks. He bypassed the Smokies. He bypassed the Rocky Mountains and chose one little Mount Zion on which Jesus Christ himself would sit on a throne as the place where Christ would rule and reign. By the way, I thought about this and I thought about that verse. How honored Hammond, Indiana is. Hammond, Indiana, chosen by the grace of Almighty God to be the center of fundamentalism and the spreading of the gospel all over the world. And by the way, by His grace, He's let you and me sit in these pews and stand behind this pulpit and be a part of this. Stand up and shout and praise God for His goodness. God has chosen Hammond, Indiana, not Palm Beach, not Palm Springs. Hammond, Indiana, not Southern California, not Southern Florida, not Rocky Mountain, the town of Estes Park, or Denver, or Colorado Springs. Hammond, Indiana, next door to the scenic spot of the world, Indiana Harbor. Next door to a city called Gary that has a significance that no city in America has. Right here, Indian, the biggest church in America. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll say it again tonight. The biggest church in America is not in suburbia somewhere. It's not composed of a bunch of yuppies from upper class people in suburbia. It's right here in your industrial steel center of Northwest Indiana. Hey, congratulations out there, Helen. You don't know it, but you've been chosen by God.
We have noticed chosen kings, chosen preachers, chosen priests, chosen cities, chosen leaders, chosen nations, chosen apostles, chosen missionaries, and they're all of these people called into full-time service for God. Yet as I continued my study, I found another group chosen for full-time service. I find that group mentioned, though will not turn to it, in Isaiah 48:10. Chosen in the furnace of affliction. Chosen in the furnace of affliction. Illustration. Somebody tell me what Job ever did. Somebody tell me about a great revival Job ever preached. A great church Job ever built. A great ark that Job ever built. Show me anything that Job did. And yet Job was as much chosen by God for full-time Christian service as was the Apostle Peter or the Apostle John or Jonah in the great revival in Nineveh. He was chosen. Chosen for what? He was chosen to suffer to show us how we're to suffer when our burdens come. I'm saying Job was chosen by God for full-time Christian service. Many people are called to salvation, but a few people are called for full-time service for God. Such was the case with Job. So, let's list a few of these people honored to be chosen by God. Jesus, Solomon, Paul, Peter, Abraham, David, Moses, Aaron, Randy, Marlene, Trina, Steve, Kemp, Betty. Oh. Randy. You're as much in full-time Christian service as I am. God's called me to preach all the time. God's called you to suffer all the time. And God's called you into full-time service. You're in that wheelchair full-time. But that's not a wheelchair. That's a call of Almighty God. And so listed the call of a nation as the nation, and a city, and a man as the high priest, and a missionary as the missionary to the Gentile. God says He's called some to the furnace of affliction. Hear me carefully. In every church, there are few so honored by God.
They have been called into full-time service. They have been called to teach the rest of us how we're to suffer. They're full-time servants of God. They've been called of God, chosen, carefully, picked. And by the way, you're not the ones, I'm sorry to say this, but you're not the ones that are the unfortunate, you're the ones that are fortunate. Just as Aaron was chosen by God to be a high priest, and just as Paul was chosen by God to be the missionary of the Gentiles, and just as Jerusalem was chosen by God as the city, and Israel was chosen by God as the nation, and Aaron was chosen by God as the high priest, you have been chosen of God to full-time service to the ministry of the affliction of the furnace. In every college there are few. We're so honored by God to show the rest how to take it. In the ministry, there are a few preachers honored by God to show the others how to hang in there. I said a while ago, tell me what great work Job did. Would somebody tell me the name of the great church that John Bunyan built? Would somebody tell me what mission field John Bunyan served? Would somebody tell me what great educational institution or college John Bunyan built? And yet, who's to say that John Bunyan is any less than Charles Spurgeon? For Spurgeon was called of God and chosen of God to pastor the great Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, England. And John Bunyan was called of God to show all of us how we're to take our stand and not let the government tell us what to do in our churches. And if we have to go to jail, have to stay 12 years, suffer while we're there, and do something for God while we suffer. I'm saying John Bunyan, chosen by God, called by God, full-time service, what? To sit in a prison 12 years. So God calls a Bill Burr to show us how to keep going. God calls a Dallas Dobson to show preachers how to hang in there when they're afflicted with all kinds of disease and heartaches. God calls a Stephen to show us how to die. God calls a Marty Evans to show us how to fight. God calls a First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana to show the whole nation how to keep going in the midst of opposition and battles and attack. See, we've been chosen by God. It says in Acts chapter, they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame. Worthy to suffer shame. Worthy to be persecuted. Worthy to be attacked. Thank God the devil hates me enough. He wants to fight me. Thank God for it. What an honor. That's not sickness that you have. It's a call of God. That's not paralysis that you have. It's a call of God. That's not cancer that you have. It's a call of God. That's not a near comatose son that you have. It's a call of God. That's not an accident when six of your children were taken in one automobile accident. It's a call of God to show America. What's that family's name? Willis. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what that one accident has done for people across America? Were there six children? Six children in one car accident? Listen, that man got a chance to testify to the whole world. He pastored a church probably with a little over 100 people over in South Chicago, and God gave that man a chance to tell the whole world, you can keep on going while you suffer, and you can take it, and you can praise God at the funeral home, and you can thank God for persecution. That's why the Apostle Paul could say, I rejoice in tribulation. I glory in persecution. That's not a car wreck when your wife and mother was taken. It's a call of God. That's not a disease. And you have multiple sclerosis. It's a call of God. I think about that young man in our college from Australia. I think he has multiple sclerosis. Is that what he has? Some kind of cerebral palsy. He can't lower his hand.
and tries to shake your hand, it's like this. And yet he's still in school. Some of you guys have strong biceps. You haven't got the courage to stay in school. God's called that young man to walk down the hallways like this at Howard Anderson College to tell you folks that are strong, you can make it too. He's in full time. That arm is always there. It never moves. It's always there. It never falls to his side. It's always there. He's been called of God into full time Christian service to preach a sermon that does not need to be behind a pulpit. It's preached to the walking down an aisle, walking down a hallway, walking in a classroom, and hanging in there. I'm saying, rise up, sufferer. You've been chosen by God. That's not loneliness. When Christmas finds you alone, that's a call of God. Beverly Joyce Hiles is as much called of God as Jack Hiles is. Of course, till Hiles was as much in full-time Christian service as her son and her daughter are. Thank God. Thank God. I was called like everybody. Thank God the gospel came to a little ghetto area in southwest Dallas. Thank God the gospel came to a little shack of a house. Two rooms. Wood stove for heat. And kerosene lamp for light. Windows stuffed with newspapers to keep the howling winds out. Outhouse in the backyard. A well off the back porch. And yet thank God that people like the Apostle Paul chose and carried the gospel to the Western world. And people came from Europe to an unknown country called now the United States of America. And somebody carried that message of hope and that message of grace down to Texas. And somebody told that little boy God was calling him to salvation. But thank God also, not only was I called, but I was chosen. People often say, they look at me, they hear about our church, and they say, then they see me, and they say, I don't understand it. He's not very good looking, though I am the best looking man on this platform. They say, he's not big. He's not eloquent. What's he doing? Pastoring the largest church in America. I'll tell you what he's doing. Salvation was offered to him like it's offered to everybody else. But for some reason unknown to this preacher, God chose that little ghetto-bound boy to proclaim the message of the grace of God. But likewise, as much as I was chosen, he's chosen those of you who live in loneliness. He's chosen those of you whose only companion is a memory. He's chosen those of you who have a disease that will never be cured. Last Sunday morning, I got to tell you this. I preached my sermon last Sunday morning on enduring. Enduring. If you endure, you receive a crown of life. Have it. That God wasn't talking to those that go through a trial, but those that go into a trial, it'll always be there. Last Sunday morning, a 15-year-old boy walked down this aisle, tears streaming down his cheeks, and threw himself on his knees at the altar. For you see, that 15-year-old boy has a disease that's incurable. Had a hard time fighting it. Had a hard time accepting it. And yet last Sunday morning, he accepted it. May I say this morning, if you're one of those that has been chosen of God. Chosen of God. Hey, Randy, did you hear me? Moses, chosen by God. Randy, chosen by God. Paul, chosen by God. Randy, but the Bible says it. It talks about chosen in the furnace of affliction. Chosen. Chosen. Chosen to suffer. Thank God. Many are called, but thank God some are chosen. And if, by God's grace, I happen to be one of those that settled a few more problems than others, and a few more heartaches than others, And if God, by His grace, has chosen me to be an example to preachers all across the country to keep on going, I bow my head and say, dear God, I'm highly honored. This church, I promise you there are 1,000 churches that have not folded their tents in America because this church didn't fold theirs. I guarantee you there are 1,000 preachers who kept on going because this preacher kept on going. And to those of you who are suffering, that wheelchair, and that paralysis, and that cancer, and that heartache, and that broken heart, and that heavy heart, thank God! I said, thank God! You've been chosen. Some are chosen to be cities, a city of God. One was chosen to be God's nation. One was chosen to be God's only high priest. One was chosen to be a man after the nations that would be named. One was chosen to bear the body of Jesus. 12 were chosen as apostles. One was chosen to carry the gospel to the Gentiles. One was chosen to be king of Israel. A mount was chosen to be the location of the millennial headquarters. And Job was chosen for the ministry, full-time ministry, the affliction or the furnace of affliction. This morning, don't complain about your problems. Let us feel sorry for you. But don't feel sorry for yourself. Go home and look in the mirror and say, how fortunate you are. Not only have you been called to salvation like everybody has, you heard the gospel of grace, but you've been chosen. Chosen. Called into full-time Christian service. What an honor. Now I go from those who've been chosen to those who've been called. If you're this morning, you've been called. You may never be chosen for something special, but you've been called of God to salvation. You're a sinner, you're lost. Jesus came to the earth in the form of a man, lived a perfect life, died on the cross and bore your sins in His body and paid the penalty for your sins and rose again after 72 hours. And now He calls you to salvation on the basis of what He did for you. You can walk down this aisle this morning, receive Christ as your Savior, walk out those doors as a child of God.